right, I want to try to wrap up the series on revival now. A lot's been going through my mind in terms of how do we really get it. I think we've already stated that, revival is in us. If revival is going to happen, we have to be willing to get up each day until it really happens every day. We have to be willing to get up every day and say, God wants to release revival out of me. He put the kingdom in you, and the kingdom of God, I guarantee, is revival. It's full-fledged revival. And do I want to allow that to happen? How do I get up every morning? Am I getting up in the morning and starting out where I'm really saying, God, this is a day you have made. I'm going to start with rejoicing, and I'm going to be glad in this day, and I'm going to go for it. Do you know what that does to you? And it opens up your ear to hear what he has to say to you throughout the day. Because don't ever forget and don't underestimate what murmuring does to God's ears and to people, right? And so he wants us to get up each day and start this thing out and say, no, I shouldn't wake up like that. I got a bad thought this morning when I woke up, but I am not going to hang on to that. I'm not even going to get out of bed with it. I'm going to leave it right in bed. I'm going to do something about it right now because this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. And the Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and what? And again, I say, rejoice. Get up and rejoice. And I think what he was trying to instill in us, and he was in prison himself, so he knows what he's talking about. A cold, drippy, wet, scary prison he was in. And he wrote most of his books in there, and the prison epistles in there. And he understood what he was talking about. He said, no, just try it. Just give it a try. Just give it the 30-day try. And God will give you your money back if it doesn't work. Just give it 30 days and get up every day and say, Lord, I'm gonna follow your word. I'm not asking you just to name it and claim it. I'm not talking about just positive thinking. I'm talking about the real thing here. Rejoice in the Lord always. How often? Always. And again, I say it. You know why he said that, right? Again? Because he knew you wouldn't listen the first time. So again, I say, rejoice. Get up and start your day right. Tell you what, if you'll practice this, just find a scripture or two each day, maybe go to Philippians or something, or the Psalms or something like that, and get up and just be determined. Maybe put it by your bedside the night before, and when you wake up in the morning, just instead of allowing your mind to kick in, because you know when your mind's tired, it does funny things, doesn't it? It can think some funny thoughts and some weird thoughts, and we don't know how often we just gravitate that first thought that comes by, you know, just when you wake up. Especially if you're not a morning person, you wake up and, man, it's there's no good thought. There never has been. God missed it on that one, man. You know, at 9:30 or 10 o'clock, there's nothing good coming yet. That's just some. But just realize that those thoughts will come and just attack your mind and try to set the pace for your day. And what ends up happening is that you then don't listen to God the rest of the day. You don't hear what he's trying to say to you. He's trying to get this day started right so you can step up to the plate with him and begin to see how miraculous he really is, how much he really works in your life, how interested he really is in you, how much he wants to relate to you throughout the day, how much he wants to walk with you. That's what it said throughout the whole Old Testament. Enoch walked with God, and Abraham walked with God, and they just loved it. You know, Abraham, when he got one of the greatest visions, what was he doing? He got up in the morning. He got up in the morning, and he sat in the doorway of the tent. You know, it was out in the desert, and he had the tent going there, a big tent, not a little pup tent. Just a good-sized tent, you know, and he's opens the door to get some breeze, and he's sitting there. And remember what happened. The Lord and two angels came and met with him because he just took that few moments in the morning to sit there in the doorway and just wait and anticipate and expect and believe that if we wait upon the Lord, he's going to really renew our strength so that we can run and not be weary and walk and not faint. We can really do that. We can get to that place. And that's even with bad circumstances still in place. Isn't that miraculous? I think it's awesome when a person can run even though they're facing some big challenges. Why not just keep going? It's his strength that we're learning to run on and run in, and we will have to have that. We'll have to have that no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what our situation is. Charles Dickens wrote a book called The Tale of Two Cities. Probably many of you, how many have read that book? I figured quite a few did. It's a pretty popular book. He started out in part of it, and he says these words. He said, it's the best times, it's the worst times. And boy, if you let that settle in, you really understand what he's trying to communicate there. I think for the church, it's the best times, but it's the worst times. We're facing more attacks than we've ever faced in America. In America, I'm narrowing it down to America. We've been blessed. But we're facing more attacks than we ever had before. And you may not realize it, you may not recognize it, because we have been smarter about, or they have been smarter about silencing you. They've just done it line upon line, here a little, there a little. This is the point where, you know, a lot of people think, well, I can't even, you know, witness at work, at the workplace. That's a silencer, if you ask me. And it's also very wrong, isn't it? I've not seen any place where it says I can't do that. I can share my life with anybody as well as they can share their life with me. Isn't that right? But see, we've lost some of that. I've talked to many believers that I can't do it at work. Well, you can do it at work. Just don't be unreal and fake about it. Just really share the love of Jesus with them and share the life of Jesus and just give credit to where credit is due. You know, I used to be like this, and now I'm like this, and the only reason I'm like this is because Jesus had mercy on me. And when he went to the cross to save me, man, it was crazy. But see, we've tried to point fingers at people instead and tell them they need to get saved when they don't know how yet. They just need to hear your testimony. That's what a testimony is about. It's where they can begin to hear that. But yet we've been lulled to sleep in so many ways in this nation now, we don't even realize how oppressed we are. It's crazy. It's totally crazy. How many would agree with that? You know, we really have. We've just, you know, even, you know, when the different businesses and stuff start picking up on this and realizing, wow, we better shift our thinking because there's a crowd that doesn't think the way those other people think, then you know something's up. I want to just say this here, in light of just the day that we're living in, that even though it may look like some pretty bad news, I don't think it's any worse than the second and a half day that Jesus was in the grave. I don't think it was any worse at all. You remember what the disciples started saying? Oh man, where is he? Oh man, we gave our whole life for him, and now he's in the grave still. What in the world's going on here? You know, what's going on? And they started getting fearful and just, what are we going to do now? And we're going to, you know, we better run because they're not just going to be nice to us after this. They're not only going to ridicule us, but who knows what they're going to do to us. And so these guys were feeling like that. Well, I think we're living in that kind of a day where we're right about there. But I want to give you a little hope today, because Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, no matter who's president. It doesn't matter. He's not even thinking about that right now. Now, he might be. I better not speak for him and be wrong, at least not up here. But he's not over there biting his nails about who he's getting in. He's looking down on us to say, how's my beautiful bride coming along? Oh, is she getting ready? Oh, is she believing? Oh, is she having faith? Oh, is she, you know, decoring herself up for this great feast that we have planned? That's what he's thinking. He's thinking of my beautiful bride's down there. And oh, would I ever take care of her if she just realized that I'll do it? Oh, would she just understand how much I love her and how much I'm watching over everything that's going on around her? And allow me to just begin to get into their heart and get into their life and get into their daily life every day, every day, every day. To have this quiet time Wouldn't it be just amazing if you felt inside, okay, and I mean a real feeling, if you felt inside tomorrow morning when you woke up, you felt inside a greater desire to spend a little bit of time with God than anything else that you have to do that day. And you stopped and you thought, let's see. I won't do this so I can do this. I'll pass on my lunch so that I can meet with God. I'll skip my breakfast and maybe even my coffee. Now that's pushing it, I know. But I'm gonna miss some of that so that I can just sit down and begin to connect and learn how to relate to the Holy Spirit. Because never forget, there were five wise virgins and five foolish. And they're mentioned at other times. But the fact is they were just out of oil. And oil in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit, which represents the person that we are to relate to now in this day. And learn to do that. Oh, what if I just took that step? And that, I mean, I literally just woke up, and that's my feeling. How many have woke? You may not want to raise your hand on this one here. But how many have woke? Is it woken? Woken? Is that a word, woken? Awakened. How many have awakened in the morning? That sounds much better than woken. How many have awakened in the morning with a thought and a desire and a passion that I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to study, I'm going to just spend a little bit of time with the Lord. But then once you got out of bed, you changed the route you were going. And you never quite got to it. You thought, well, maybe I can just in a little bit. So we've done that probably far too many times. God's not up there looking down saying, you rotten, nasty, unbelieving believer. He can't see you that way. He sees you through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how he sees you. So he's up there, I'm guessing, wondering, where are they? What became more important than me? Now see, I say this because fathers are so important in our life, aren't they? And many of us suffer because of our father situations. But sometimes we won't go to our real father. We won't make that a priority to get restored back everything our natural biological stewards, not even our fathers. Right? I mean, children are the heritage of who? That's what the Bible says, okay? So we know they're our fathers, but you know what I'm saying. Don't get caught on that. But you see what I'm saying. What about that time? He sits up there thinking, oh man, I wish they would have stopped. I could have told them this and this and this. I could have equipped them for what they were about to face. I could have set them on the track. I could have made them turn left at the right light so they wouldn't have gotten in an accident. I could have done so many things just to speak to them. And I just think God delights to do that. I mean, I think he loves to do that. And he loves to take you with him through the day instead of you leaving him and doing this. And again, I just trust me. He says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. He is not up there condemning you. He's up there wondering, well, I'm looking through Jesus, the all provider, and they're not even looking to me. I've given them this amazing thing. And so, anyway, as we look in the scriptures, as we think about the day that we're living in, I want to give us some encouragement because it's not as bad as it actually looks. You've been watching the news more than you've been praying. So you're not catching the revelation of what's happening. And so I want to kind of show you just a few things in scriptures because it's important for us to know this. Because if I don't believe this, if I don't believe him, then of course I'm going to get up and feel bad and think bad all day. I should. It's so bad out there. It's worse than you think out there. It's worse than you think out there, but it's better in the kingdom than you think. How's that? Does that make sense? Okay, now just listen to this here because these are a few things that takes place when things get really bad. This first one is from a person you'll know. His name is Daniel. Many of you have heard of him. Daniel, amazing guy, went to a godly man, went to Babylon. One of the worst places in that day. He went to Babylon to go to school and to study and so forth, and he was there. And all of a sudden, the kingdom, or the king and the kingdom and his little helpers, decided, hey, we want everybody to worship our king. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a law out there that says that you can't bow to any other king or pray to any other king, or you'll get killed. Okay, that's a paraphrase of the story, but that's exactly what happened. Somebody in the Congress got an idea that they were sick of you, and you were bothering them because you brought light everywhere you came on their darkness and their shady deals. You brought light to it, and they couldn't stand it anymore because you were slowing them down. Kind of a WikiLeaks thing. I don't know what you guys are connecting that to. It's one of those things where, you know, he's getting pushed down, and they're out to get him and to put him out completely. I think it's amazing. When Jesus was crucified, the religious people used the government to do it. The Romans, right? This is what's happening here. These creepy, demonic people were going out to get Daniel, and so what do? We're going to make a decree for the king. He'll follow it through. He'll love this one. He'll love us for loving this one. Everybody has to worship him. And we know that in this particular story that did not happen. If you want to just write the reference down, I think it's up here on there, the first one. There's going to be great exploits that take place. Great exploits that take place in the last days. In the day that we're living in, that's what he's going to release. Daniel was living kind of in the last days there for himself. They were putting clamps on him. They were saying, you aren't going to do this. You aren't going to worship anymore, Daniel. You've already disrupted enough people. You've led too many people to Christ already. This is it. And look what it says. Daniel 11:33, the last part. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do what? Exploits. You're going to do great things. You're going to have exploits in the last day, and sometimes it just takes the harshness of the weather to get us to finally put on our coats. But once we get up there and begin to do it, we begin to see, wow, God really is going to do some great exploits in the last days. He wants to break this thing open, church. It's going to take exploits to get people even to recognize God anymore in our nation. It's going to take some great things. The second thing that we're going to see an increase of is the power. The power. God's Spirit will be poured out on many people in the last days. And I'm just here to report to you that it's happening around the world, even maybe more so than in our nation. That Spirit is being poured out. Joel prophesied it about it, and it was mentioned in the New Testament, his prophetic word, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days I will pour out my Spirit. That day afterwards was the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and sent the Spirit back. That's when that started, about 2,000 years ago, and it's still going, and he's still pouring it out, and it's still bringing people to Christ. It's still seeing people saved and changed and transformed. The first thing he said in the book of Acts was, I want you to go out, but first, before you go out, you need to come in. You got to come in. And that's what he told them. He said, I want you to go to the upper room and don't come out because they'll kill you. Don't come out until I endue you with a power. That's what he said. And I think, wow, again, I'm missing going in, and so I can't come out with power. And so he's going to do this. He's going to pour out his Spirit. And we're seeing that around the world. We're seeing Muslims become born again just by getting a vision of Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's just happening around the world. It's not like, wow, this is not really happening. This is happening in our day. This is a great thing. This is a good thing. The third thing is that there's going to be some more protection. There's going to be more protection. I just want you to know, God loves his bride. He loves you. He cares about you. He's thinking about you. He has good things for you. He's not up there again with the wound up time clock waiting for it to go off to come back and get you. But he literally loves you and cares about you, and he has a plan for your life. And that plan only starts now, but it doesn't end for all of eternity. It's not like it's just a little short, you know, we're short-term thinking. So, you know, we just think about our little short life. But he's planning for your eternity. So he's going to have supernatural grace and protection. It's going to be afforded to you, in particular, during this great tribulation. I don't think you have to fear. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned, but let's not fear. I mean, honestly, Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Oh, isn't that a good one? You've been wondering what's happening, huh? You're keeping the word of his patience. How's the patience doing today? Because you have kept my word of patience, I also will keep you in the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world and to try them that dwell upon the earth. He's going to keep you through that hour. Remember, he said he was even going to come back soon because it would get bad. But there's a divine protection for his bride. There's a divine protection for his bride, church. You're his bride. It's going to be hell for those that aren't. Granted, not hell that we give them. But he says there's a divine protection. Psalms 91:7, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto you. Man, he's got you covered. He's got you completely covered. He wants you to go on your journey filled with faith and confidence and hope and knowledge that God is greater and bigger than anyone else on the planet. And he's got you covered. He's not forgotten about you. He's not left you. But yeah, there's a patience. It requires patience. But patience only does what for us? According to James. Let patience have its what? Perfect work. Some of you need to read your Bible a shade more. Perfect work. Let patience have its perfect work in you. So whenever you experience the need for patience, maybe you have a little bit of work to be done. All right, let's go to the next one. Illumination. There's going to be illumination. God's going to open that up for the end times. Remember Daniel again? But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Are we not seeing that in our day? It's absolutely phenomenal. It's beyond our minds even be able to handle it. They'll never be able to duplicate what God created, but I'm telling you, what they're creating is absolutely phenomenal, isn't it? To the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the what? End. Can I just say he's going to open those books before heaven? Right? Because they won't need them there. So he's got this plan. He's got these words. He's got these things that are going to change the game. And he's got them for us. He's going to open our eyes. We're going to understand it. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise will understand. Wow, isn't that amazing? Come on, that was worth about 95% more amens. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit opens up his understanding to us, it's absolutely phenomenal. Because it changes the game because it comes with the miraculous power of the living God. When he speaks, let me just tell you, he's greater than E.F. At least you're awake. He's greater than that. It's greater than all of that. And see, we're as believers, we're kind of going to be thinking, oh, okay, you know, wow, Lord, what, you know, what? No, he has some stuff he's going to open up for us in the end times. And we have to be ready to hear that. And then just, let me just finish with this one here, the last one. The last one, the glory. The glory of God's presence is going to increase and become stronger in his people. Amen. Haggai 2:9 says this here, and there's many other scriptures for all of these, but for time's sake, we didn't look at them. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former, says who? The Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give, say it with me, peace, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord wants you to have peace. He doesn't want you to be fearful, because when you're afraid and when you're fearful, you run, you do weird things, you don't listen, you're not focused on him. And he's the one that has the answers for every last one of your life circumstances and every last one of your life situations. He's the one that has the word for your future. He knows where he wants you to head. He knows what he wants you to do. I just think, you know, sometimes we may just kind of miss this thing and not really get into his glory or his presence and so forth. If you could just write down Isaiah 60 and verse 2. Listen, it says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." Darkness shall cover the earth. And gross darkness the people. What's it saying? It's getting down close now. There's going to be this principality and power covering around the earth. We know that, right? We realize that. There's a spiritual principality and power. That's why you have so much struggle in your mind, because you've got this airwaves going with all of that. But he says in the last days, this is going to come down, and it's going to come down on the people. It's going to be darkness and gross darkness, and we're seeing that around us, and I don't think we should take it lightly, and realizing that it's gone from the upper level now to the ground level. Now it's here, and it's getting upon people, and that darkness is so blinding their eyes that they can do things that are unthinkable. Unthinkable. I mean, don't you shake your head sometimes? I mean, I hope you're not getting numb to it, but don't you just shake your head at what gets discovered with people? Yeah. This gross darkness comes down upon them, another sign of the end times. But I like the last part of this verse. This is the good part. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. So it's going to come upon you, but it's going to be seen by others also. Man, let's not underestimate that. Just close your Bibles for a minute and just set your Bibles aside. Gross darkness is going to come upon people. And I'm telling you, we are just seeing it. But that light's going to arise inside of you, and it has to arise in you if it's going to shine for them. But if we're tangling ourselves or entangling ourselves with just the survival of this world, maybe you're not even doing anything that would be really bad, if that's even a right statement. Maybe you're not doing something that's really bad, but you know every time that you do it, you feel a check in your heart, feel a check in your spirit. Well, I probably wouldn't do this at church. That would be a good sign, by the way. But yet things are just kind of weaving into your life, and it's the things that are probably stealing and robbing you from that quiet time in the morning. You wake up condemned, or you wake up, you know, the enemy has a heyday with it. So now you say, "Oh, I'll just try to get up, and I'll just try to be good today. I'm just going to really, really work at it." And we really work at it so many times, and we fail so many times, and we're just not getting it. But if we let the glory rise up inside of us, it's a game changer. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The wisest man in the Bible, and maybe in the entire world, said these words. He said, "It's the little foxes that spoil the vine." It's a couple of those little things that we've decided were okay because we have so many other things in order that's okay. I can complain a little, or I can gripe a little, or I can murmur a little, or I can sneak this a little and do that a little, and I'm okay. I'm just here to say the Holy Spirit is calling out his bride. He's going to get rid of all the spots and the wrinkles. He's going to take care of it, and he's going to make himself, he's working on now, making himself the most beautiful bride that the world will ever see, and the world will see it because that's going to be his glory. His glory is going to be his bride. You never see it at a wedding. You know, the guy shouldn't be thinking about he's the glory of that wedding, right? But it's the gal. It's the bride. And he's making you ready. And he's been nudging you and wooing you and trying to capture your attention and trying to draw you back. Because he knows when you stay away too long, it's really hard to come back. Not because he makes it hard. It's just that you, I don't know why, it just is. Just one of those things where, I don't know, can I start it? Well, I want to say today, you can start it. You can start it right now. Start it right now. You got to get back with the Lord in that intimate place. And I believe this morning, I'm going to ask us to stand in a minute. I believe this morning, if you'll just respond to the Lord and then just have an ear to hear, He'll begin to speak to you clear again like you've probably heard Him before. If you never have, He'll start fresh. But most of you already have heard the Lord, but it hasn't been quite as clear for different reasons. But I'm just telling you as clear as I can tell you, He's preparing a bride. He's calling a bride forth. So if you're here this morning, again, the word spoke to you and you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying something to you, because that's really what's important. And you feel like, well, you know, I want to have a fresh start. I just want to stand up and ask the Lord to give me that fresh start that I've been trying to get, but I haven't been able to on my own. I want you to stand right now. Just stand right up. Come on, if this is you, just stand up. If it's not, don't even worry about it. But if it's you, and you're saying, I need to develop a little bit closer walk with Him, I'm telling you this morning, He's going to give you a breakthrough that you need. He's going to give you something you need. I felt like the Holy Spirit just quickened to me that when He does this, what He's going to do is He's going to take the coal off of the altar and He's going to start with your lips. He's going to just place them on your lips. You've been letting your language, your talk, not even bad language, it's just your talk, get out of hand, and that's what you're doing all day. And this is not for everybody. This is for some of you. He's checking you on your words today. That's what He's going to check you on tomorrow. And I'd do well maybe to carry a recorder and record yourself for a few hours and just see what you're really saying if you don't know. And allow the Holy Spirit to come in and begin to cleanse that out. He's going to take it out. He already went to the cross to take it out. It's already there, and He just wants to come today, and He wants to affirm it with His grace. And so just stand if that's you. If you feel like you just need an extra push of the Spirit in your heart, God will give it to you today. Our God is greater and bigger. Father, this morning we just stand before You. I pray for every person standing before You this morning. I pray power of the Holy Spirit just to be released, God, inside of them, Lord, and whatever, wherever, however, God, that there's the need there to take that step and just not to stand back and hesitate any longer, but take the step of what we know and our knower to do, what we know and our knower not to do. Lord, we would just take that step and not just continue to just to hang around the outskirts of it or the outskirts of You, but to take Your word and allow Your word to come inside of us and to completely wash it out, because Lord, You've already done it. If it's there, it's because we've allowed it back in. But we're here to say no more, whatever it is in your life, no more, in Jesus' name. We speak against all of those things that would try to kill, steal, and destroy our lives and our walk and our joy and our lives. We come this morning, God, before You because we believe that there is a power in Jesus Christ that can change everything. You change everything. And we just need to come to You, God. And that's what we're doing here this morning. We're coming to You, God. We're coming to You. Let Your word begin to flow freely again. Let Your passions begin to be unleashed. Let the power of the Spirit come upon us again, God, as Your bride. Let everybody stand right now, please. Everybody stand. Thank You, Jesus. We come this morning before You to offer up a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of the fruit of our lips. Lord, this morning we come to You. Just lift your hands up if you feel like lifting your hands up. And let's just bless the Lord this morning. God, we just bless You. God, we just love You. God, we just worship You this morning. You're so good and so faithful and so kind and so powerful to us, God. You are patient with us. You're so here to have patience. But God, You're patient with us. And You've been graceful to us. And what can we do but respond rightly to You, God, this morning? Oh, with a shout of praise and a glory unto the Father. Oh, Jesus, come this morning. Just wash over us. Wash over us, God.